Brady Saar, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services, Erskine. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman reporting from the National Farmers Union Convention in Oklahoma City with Tyler Donaldson and Randy Conan in studio. Reports from the National Farmers Union Convention made possible by North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota Farmers Union and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. As the convention here in Oklahoma City continues, South Dakota Farmers Union President Doug Somke is voicing strong concerns about trade policy, rising input costs, and the ongoing farm bill uncertainty. With agriculture facing significant challenges, Somke argues political maneuvering is creating unnecessary market instability.
I just think this president is manipulating the markets. I think it's helping out his billionaires. They're selling when it's high and they're buying when it's low. And, you know, it's working out good for them that way because they're on the inside. It's almost insider trading, and he's just playing games. That's really what it looks like to me.
Somke also highlighting the direct impact of tariffs on South Dakota farmers, pointing to rising costs and falling prices.
One thing it's going to cause is that inputs are going to continue to go up. I mean, we get 85% of our potash from Canada. I mean, so that's already going up, and it's making our prices go down. I mean, even before the tariffs were, called into place and then called out of play like he's been doing, we were seeing our local corn market continue to drop, and we dropped 84 cents in eight trading days. And all, again, because of uncertainty, because of fear.
With no farm bill in place and political divisions in Congress, Somke expressing doubts about seeing legislation move forward.
And there's so many other things that Congress has to address, and they can't come together. I just don't see us getting another farm bill again this year.
Looking ahead, he emphasized the importance of farmers' union members shaping policy.
Our members are the ones in that policy room right now developing the policy that we're going to debate on the floor tomorrow, and it's going to be the members that debate. It's not going to be me as a state president. It's not going to be Rob as the national president, or it's not going to be us as a national board. It's going to be our members instructing us what they want us to do and fight for. So I think that's what this country has to remember. And as the chief just mentioned in his speech, that, you know, we all have to fight for democracy, because if you don't, it's gone.
Reports from the National Farmers Union Convention presented by North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota Farmers Union and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Reporting from Oklahoma City, I'm Jamie Dickerman. Now with more news, here's Tyler Donaldson.
Thanks, Jamie. As discussions unfold at the National Farmers Union Convention, President Rob LaRue is stressing the urgency of passing a meaningful farm bill.
We need to put this in a neon sign with flashing red lights and so forth, because I think the biggest fear right now that we have is not only making sure that we have a farm bill that is going to be able to meet the needs of today, so that is a safety net that's actually relevant and has kind of some stability built into it, but it's the big fear that this is going to fall off the radar screen once again with all the other news coming out, and that farm bill is going to be slipping and slipping, and we will end up getting into fall and this thing be kicked down the road yet again. Farm country cannot afford that.
LaRue is concerned that the potential trade war will have a devastating impact on the ag economy, comparing it to what happened in President Trump's last term.
Remember, I think we just have to look back at that. And while there were the market facilitation payments, we don't have the same resources that we had the last time. And I don't know a farmer out there that wants to rely on those kind of payments. We want to get our return from the marketplace. That's the way that the system should work.
Minnesota Farmers Union President Gary Wordish voicing concerns over trade policy and the delayed passage of the new farm bill.
Recovered from the previous president's previous trade war, we, our soybeans, for example, we haven't recovered the amount of exports or bushels that we're sending to China, and we probably never will. They're finding other markets, and it's incentivized Argentina and Brazilian farmers to raise more. So it's a competition that we'll have forever. And and now we're entering in another round of tariff wars or trade wars, and that's very concerning to agriculture. And it really hits rural America hard too.
Another major concern is the repeated delays of passing a new farm bill. Wordish says he's concerned there'll be another postponement.
Unfortunately, it's almost looking like we might end up doing that again there. We don't know. The as the House is putting that, they put their reconciliation bill forward, and if, you know, as they do that, we got next week, we got to fund the government, and if by doing that they do a lot of cuts to the SNAP nutrition program, it'll be very hard to put a farm bill together. So I know we're fortunate that we got Senator Klobuchar and Congresswoman Craig as ranking members in both the House and Ag Senate, so they've got a good working relationship across the aisle. So I mean, that gives us some hope that we can maybe get it across the finish line. But you know, as partisan as the politics is right now in D.C., it's going to be another hurdle. It's going to be hard to get over.
Speaking at the National Farmers Union Convention in Oklahoma City, Ag Credit CEO Bill Davis highlighted growing concerns about the ag economy.
The cost of production in many of the commodities that we serve is below break even the last year or two, and the outlook is similar for the next couple of years. And for some producers, we're in the second or even third year of unprofitability in those spaces. The cattle markets are currently the bright spot, where the stars are all lined up right now. And it may be some degree the cattle industry is masking some of the problems in the other industries.
Davis also emphasized Farm Credit's commitment to supporting producers through economic uncertainty.
Options that we consider and utilize across the sector are FSA loan guarantees, principal deferrals, restructuring of payments, and refinancing are just a few of the tools and tactics that we'll use to help our producers get through downturn that may be in front of us.
Congress facing a government shutdown if a stopgap spending bill isn't passed by Friday. House Republicans have prepared a continuing resolution, but it's not known if they have enough votes to pass that. A vote would come as soon as tomorrow. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Trump administration's Department of Government Efficiency plans to terminate over 3,000 building leases. That list includes the North Dakota State Farm Service Agency office in Fargo, USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service office in Bismarck, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service office in Bismarck, and the county FSA office in Watertown.
There's a high wind warning for much of the Red River Valley through tonight. Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Daniel Robinson warns that winds are expected to increase throughout the evening.
There's a pretty strong front coming in later today, and as this moves south, we're expecting winds to increase through the afternoon, and there's going to be a period, say 1 to 3 hours, where frequent wind gusts 260 miles per hour are expected, and that's covered in the high wind warning. We also have fire weather conditions across the state of North Dakota as well, particularly south of Highway 2 and 200. In our area, that's more so in southeastern North Dakota and west central Minnesota.
And a big weather system could hit this weekend.
It's going to start out probably more as a rain event for the region, but it is going to transition into wintry weather as well. So impacts, specific impacts at this range, we can't really say too much, but there is a potential for chance for warning impacts at this range. So it is a very strong system, and it is something to keep an eye on.
The U.S. Midwest should see mostly dry conditions over the next week to 10 days, with early season field work advancing between two weather events that are expected to impact much of the region. World Weather Incorporated says the first round of precipitation is expected to impact the region Friday into Saturday, and the second is advertised for next week, Wednesday and Thursday. World Weather says a strong area of low pressure will cause snow and strong winds Friday into Saturday across the northern plains. Blizzard conditions are likely across most of the northern plains, with wind gusts greater than 50 miles per hour. Total moisture is expected to range from a half inch to over an inch of moisture.
Regular rounds of rain and thunderstorms will occur over the next 2 weeks across central Brazil. World Weather says portions of southern Brazil will receive rain, but not enough to offset drying conditions. Far southern Brazil will remain dry and in need of better moisture. Argentina will see little rain over the next 10 days, and field work should gradually increase as fields dry out from recent rains. Far northeastern Argentina, though, will remain dry and in need of better moisture.
Dakota Agronomy Partners General Manager Dan Sem says fertilizer prices remain flat, but traders are on edge as they react to tariff headlines.
As it sits today, I think most things are sitting pretty flat. When we talk about potash and ammonium sulfate coming across from Canada, I think there's some things in the next 30 days that are kind of, like I said, questionable on how that's going to pan out, because if there's a tariff imposed, they're going to definitely try to pass that along, right? So that's one of the things that we're watching right now. Urea, phosphates, I think things are just remaining flat and everybody's just trying to fill their sheds.
Sem says DAP has a good supply of fertilizer on hand.
We've got everything that we've got for storage is pretty much full. We're waiting on some shipments that got to come in. Rail movement, truck movement's been real good. I think just the hot topic in the cafe has been, what are these tariffs going to do to prices? So that sparks guys to sit down and maybe take a closer look at, what is my actual usage of fertilizer going to be. Seed and chemical, we're doing just fine on that. Supplies are coming in. We're filling ever so slowly, and we'll be ready to go for spring.
According to Politico, the Justice Department has launched an investigation to determine if large egg producers are taking advantage of avian influenza to increase prices. The Justice Department has not confirmed this story. Meanwhile, the Trump administration announcing a $1 billion plan to address the virus and egg prices over a week ago.
Canada's Liberal Party has elected new leadership. Mark Carney is a former chief of the Central Bank of both Canada and United Kingdom. Carney will succeed Justin Trudeau as Prime Minister at a time when Canada is in a trade war with the United States. Get the latest news and weather updates anytime by listening to the Red River Farm Network podcasts. Listen at rrfn.com and most anywhere you get your podcast. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Acres and Shares reporting 162 shares of American Crystal Sugar Beet Company stock sold during the week ending March 7th at an average price of $5,606 a share, high at $5,700, the low at $5,600. So far this trading season, 5,109 shares have sold with an average price of $5,421 a share. The high, $5,700. The low, $5,100.
Farmers and ranchers following the changes to beneficial ownership filing requirements may soon have a final decision and possibly some relief. American Farm Bureau's Director of Government Affairs, Dustin Shearer, says the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network recently announced it won't fine or penalize American companies who fail to file, and an interim rule is in the works.
That was going to update with new reporting deadlines and also hopefully narrow the scope of the companies that are required to file in order to alleviate some of the burden on small businesses. On X, the Treasury Department announced that in addition to that relief, they will not require any domestic company or its beneficial owners to file their information with the federal government.
The Treasury Department also says it will craft an interim final rule that focuses on foreign companies. Shearer says the rule has faced opposition on a number of levels.
Right now, it's facing something like at least 10 different lawsuits all over the country. You've got cases in federal district courts. You've got rulings from those federal district courts that have been appealed to the courts of appeal in various jurisdictions. You've had a bill to delay the enforcement unanimously passed the House, and you've had letter writing campaigns from outside organizations, including the Farm Bureau.
Checking quotes, May Wheat Minneapolis up 12.25 cents, 605 even. May Wheat Chicago up 11.25 cents, 562.5. KC May Hard Red Winter Wheats up 15 cents, 579.75. May Corn at 471.75, up 2.5 cents. May Soybeans down a dime, 10.15 even. In Winnipeg, May Canola is down $40 per metric ton, 605 Canadian. April live cattle down up 12 cents, $200.42. April feeders down 30 cents, $277.85. April lean hogs up 95 cents at $88.30. Dow Jones Industrial Average right now down 808 points at 41,993. You are listening to the Red River Farm Network.